Hello and welcome to our KrausCast webinar series. My name is Amy Beecham and I'm the marketing director here at Kraus Financial. Today's topic is end of year long-term care insurance strategies for clients, presented by our national LTCI director, Lori Gubash. First, we have a few housekeeping items. If you do have any questions during today's webinar, you can go ahead and type those in the questions section of the GoToWebinar toolbar, and we will answer them at the end of our presentation. And next, a copy of today's PowerPoint can be found in the handouts section of that GoToWebinar toolbar. And we also ask that you please complete the post-webinar survey that will pop up on your screens at the end of the presentation, as we truly do appreciate your feedback. And now let's get on with the presentation. Lori, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Amy. Again, my name is Lori Gubash, and I am the National Sales Director here at Kraus. And I'm really excited to be able to come to all of you today and talk a little bit about end of year strategies for your clients, and quite frankly, end of year strategies for yourself that potentially you haven't thought about. At Kraus, you know, we are very, very entrenched in this planning with the MCA, long-term care. We're doing Medicare, all the different products. We now have somebody on staff doing the final expense trust. So to us, this isn't just a once and done. This is a cumulative planning exercise. So I really want to focus on that. The other thing I'm going to not focus on is myself, and I don't want you to either. So I am going to turn off my camera so that you don't have to watch my hands going all over and you can focus on more of the conversation. Okay. So again, what is your plan? And I want to talk about those end of year strategies, but let me tell you a little bit more about Kraus if you're not 100% familiar with who we are. We are an attorney-led firm, and we really help to provide those asset preservation solutions for the estate planning community and elder law attorneys and their clients. And we do this with specialized insurance products and the resources and support of our team. I think one of the things that always impressed me about Kraus and what made me want to become a part of this team was the fact that they really have streamlined the process of advising clients and helping advise clients on long-term care planning, and done it in a way that really is advantageous to the attorney network that we work with, not to mention a bunch of great people to be with. We really want to empower the legal professionals out there to navigate this long-term care planning scenario with confidence. And as everybody on this call I know knows, things are changing faster than the speed of light. I mean, I look at how many things in my 25 years of doing this type of planning have changed. And it, you know, used to be we had one type of product. Now we've got a myriad of products to really be there to help facilitate the planning question, but also to be able to not have it be about product. It's finding the solution to that question that we're asking. So keep that in mind as we're going through this. I really want you to think about not only your own clients, but think about yourself and your family and where some of these things that we're going to go over might be advantageous in your life as well. So with that, the goals that we've set forth today are to really discuss the importance of planning for long-term care. And as you notice, I'm not saying long-term care insurance, because this isn't about the insurance. That's just one vehicle, as we all know, to help mitigate the risk. Explore those options that are available out there for insuring against the risk of long-term care. And then identify the benefits of the insurance. So that's the last piece to this whole planning puzzle. So how do we plan for long-term care? For me, and how I look at this, it's not about the insurance. That's one vehicle, and it's a very important vehicle, but it's having that plan and having that plan written on paper. And that's asking them what they want it to look like, if they should need care. What do you want it to look like? Have you thought about that? What do you want it looks like if you need some kind of care in retirement, or quite frankly, before retirement age, have you thought about staying in the home, having to move to a single level home, modifying your home, moving back to a community that you lived in where your children still might be, or vice versa, having to move to a community where your children are now or your client's children are? Those all go into this planning discussion, because that's going to be the differentiator in the plan that's put together. And then from there, determining what vehicle is going to be used to fund it, right? Some people aren't going to be insurable. So then obviously there are those types of products that we have available to put in place to shore up that financial piece, so that they're not devastating everything and leaving a spouse alone with very minimal assets because their planning wasn't there to make sure that the spouse is taken care of, that independent living person. It's mapping your own course, because we can say whatever we want. Every single person that is on this webinar, every single person I talk to has a different idea of what they want this to look like. And we want to make sure that we can do that, and that your clients can do that. We want to make sure that they're able to live life on their own terms. And then what are they going to need to live the life of independence as long as possible? Because we all know staying in a community, staying in the home helps not only physical health and finances in many cases, but even the mental and emotional needs of that person, because they're comfortable. They're in an area where they're going to see people on a regular basis. They're not asking people to change what they've been doing. So to me, this is all the plan. And then we need to focus in on, okay, we know what you want. Now let's look at everything else, and let's put the puzzle pieces together in a way that's going to create the financial plan to go with your actual physical plan that we've written down. We are the ones in control. We don't want to leave these decisions to somebody else. I know I don't. I actually had a conversation last night at my daughter's house about the simple things of, she is now set as my access on my cell phone. If something should happen to me, she now has the code to get into my cell phone. A lot of people don't think about that. But all of my passcodes and all of my life is held in that one little instrument. So if something happens to me, how are they going to know what my plans are? So that's part of this whole plan. So just having those simple conversations can help to put that puzzle piece together. And when you're talking to your clients and teaching them to do this in a way that's, oh, by the way, instead of kind of that pallor conversation of, oh, it's starting to happen, we better get all this stuff on paper, we better make sure the kids know, I'm doing it at a time where it's not creating anxiety in the eyes of my children. They think mom's just being mom, not that there's anything wrong with mom. So to me, that's the most important thing, that I can beat this information into them. So not only are they doing what I want, but I'm also making it a smoother transition for them. Again, why do we plan? I think I just shared that. You know, we are living longer. Most of us are going to need some extra help. I am in a situation now where I am single versus being married. I am very independent. I am not going to want the help of my children. I don't necessarily want them in my space, but I want them to know that I'm taken care of. That's where my plan is going to come into play. Having long-term care insurance for me is giving me the opportunity to make the proper plan that's going to keep the burden and the stress off of them, because it's down to a T of where I want to be, what and who the companies I want to help with this, and hopefully they'll still be in play. But it's going to help with anything that might happen to me that puts me in a position where somebody needs to help me with my life. It's already going to be a challenging time for my family. I want to make sure that putting it together early is there. And I think the Chinese proverb that we have on the screen really says it. The best time to plant the tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. And so for me, as I'm getting older, it's on the forefront of everything that I think about when it comes to, you know, my life and what I want it to be for me and my children and my grandchildren. And that, I think, is what most people, they may say that they don't care and it's their kids', you know, duty. But I think what we're dealing with in many of those instances is the emotional and vulnerable piece of every person out there. We're all in a vulnerable state when we have to talk about these types of things. Some of us, it's not as big of an issue because we talk about this vulnerability so much, but for some people, this vulnerability that's left wide open is a scary place because death is, while it's unknown, the fear is not that your family is gonna have to take care of you, that you're gonna have to allow your children to clean you and bathe you. The fear is, what is it going to do to everybody when I'm gone, right? But at that point, we're gone, so it doesn't matter. So to me, this is that plan. Having a plan, talking about it, and being comfortable with it is going to make things a lot easier. What is the risk? I mean, you know, everybody talks about, oh, the risk is this, the risk is that. I have a statistic here. It's a very strong statistic, but I always say it's either going to happen or it's not. Wouldn't you rather be prepared if it happens? But according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which kind of is the one that gathers all this information, over 50% of adults who are turning 65 today, and we have 10,000 people a day turning 65, so 50% of that 10,000 is 5,000, if my simple math is right, are going to require some type of long-term care assistance. That doesn't mean nursing home, that means assistance. That's mostly in the home or in a assisted living or in a child's home, but that's a lot of care. All that care is not covered by Medicare, and you're also looking at what is that financial umbrella doing to the family members that are involved in this that didn't have a plan in place. Because if they're moving in, that's more food, that's more time, that's more water, that's more clothes being, you know, washed. This isn't just mom moves in. It's like having another child. And I hate to liken it to that, but we're talking about that change and that dynamic that happens. And I know people think about, well, I want to do this for my mom, but things change. And that dynamic is part of the conversation. Again, Medicaid is going to require spend down of assets. And a lot of times I've heard over and over, I'm just going to let, you know, Medicaid take care of me. I'm just going to deal with it when it comes. But they're not looking at the reality of what that means. Not only do they have to spend down to $2,000, but if a spouse or a partner is still alive, it's going to affect all those assets that are out there, and it's going to change the trajectory of what the financial outlay is going to look like. Because if they are using the assets that they have built to turn into income earlier than what they thought, it's changing every single piece of what they thought it was going to last till. So all of this flows into what that plan should become. Three big numbers right here, and they're not going down. Nursing home, private room in a Medicaid approved facility, $116,000. Assisted living, one bedroom, $63,000. And home care for 40 hours per week is $60,000. Those are real numbers. How long will somebody's assets last to create the income to pay for this extra cost? We're not talking, you know, $100 a month. We're talking some, you know, real income numbers. This, for many people, is what they made annually during their working years. And now we're starting to take that away annually. So that's the conversation, right? Are they willing to risk all of that because they don't want to have the conversation? Or do we approach it differently and talk about the plan and then back into it so that they're realistically looking at the numbers and they're not making just an emotional decision, but they're really looking at the support of those assets and how those are going to play out over the years, right? It's not scaring them into anything other than the realism of what their dollars are going to provide them in retirement. So long-term care insurance, yes, this can be one of the best tools to utilize for this long-term care plan. Obviously, there are some things that go into that. Are they insurable? That's the biggest one. Can they afford it? That's the next one. Those are things that we know change as a person ages. So those are things we need to think about when we're talking to our clients and start having this conversation earlier so we can get people into a risk mitigation product earlier rather than later so that we're actually building a plan, not just creating a crisis plan. So who does this product benefit? Yeah, it benefits the individual who's got the policy, but it's also benefiting the families because it's going to help protect the family from having to change their lifestyle and have to use their assets. And it's going to take the burden off of them from having to be a caregiver to actually being the person who can help put a plan together for the care, right? Get the right people to do the care so they can stay the grandchild, the child, the sibling, whatever it may be. Retirees and pre-retirees who want to preserve the money that they have worked so hard to save. We have more and more people that don't have defined benefit plans. They don't have a pension. They have a 401k. That 401k changes based on the market in most cases. We need to have those conversations about that 401k and where that gap might be. Same thing with pension. The one thing that they know for sure in retirement is how much are they going to get a month. But there are still things to think about when we're talking pension. Is that pension going to be there if they die? Is their spouse going to be taken care of? We talk about pension maximization, but do we talk about it in the context of care? Those are the things that really need to be built out in that plan. Individuals who may have someone to care for them or significant assets to pay for the cost are not in as big of a quandary as those that don't have it, right? I know many people that are single, they don't have children, that have siblings that don't live in the community they do. Their new community that they've created is a community of friends. Do they want those friends to be the ones to make the decisions, or do they want their siblings that are, you know, five states away to be the one to make the decisions? That's something that needs to be written in a plan. Long-term care insurance plans with the appropriate inflation can actually help with the impact of inflation on the cost of care, which we know is going up faster than the cost of pure CPI inflation, right? So all of that we need to think about when we're putting this plan together. And it's also a plan that should be relooked at annually, right? This isn't something that's a once and done. Things change, people change jobs, it's another great way to get in front of those clients again to make sure that the plan that they have in place is the right plan. When do you purchase this? Well, obviously, we have parameters that go into long-term care insurance specifically. Your health and the wealth are two of the levers that are going to dictate that eligibility. And I always say, the younger you are, the better chance you have of not collecting those chronic illnesses that we start collecting after age 50. Many of you have heard the story of my sister. I preach it now because, man, I never thought it was going to be my life. No Alzheimer's in my family. And I have a sister who is my Irish twin. She is a year and a half older than I am. And she was diagnosed a little over a year ago with early onset Alzheimer's. Thank God I was able to finally get her to purchase long-term care insurance. She's 57 years old. So now you know my age. I don't care because I've got it all planned out. But my point of telling the story is, who would have believed that we'd be putting these things in place for my sister? None of us. She's the smartest. She makes the most money. She's got a husband who's quite a bit older than her. All of those things are reasons why putting a plan in place was so important. Do you think any of those were the reasons she did it? No. The reason she did it is she had the money because she had her own company, and I was able to finally get her to see that it could be a good tax deductible item in her plan. But I kept going at it with different angles because I knew how important it was. And thank God I was able to get her to do it. My family is thankful. I know her children are thankful. I know her stepchildren are thankful. And I know her husband's thankful. But it took me annually talking to her about it. And I mean annually, since I've been doing this 20 plus years, strictly long-term care, you know how long I've been talking to her. The plan was put into place 5 years ago. That's my passion. The absence of a crystal ball. I mean, I think my story just said we didn't have a crystal ball, but I had a passion that I pushed, and thank God we have something in place and none of us have to worry about what it's going to do. How do you start this discussion? I actually had this conversation just a couple days ago with an attorney, and he said, you know, I talk to my clients all the time about needing to have a plan. I give them the information, but nothing ever comes of it. And I said, yeah, I understand that, because they're taking the information you're giving, they're overwhelmed by it. This has created a vulnerability of a conversation that they're really not wanting to have. And so that information you gave them, while extremely important and amazing information, is going in a pile over here, you know, to the side, that they're going to look at a later date. And that later date keeps getting pushed out. But if you can ask your client simply this one question, it's going to outlay things in a different light. And that question is, have you thought about what you want it to look like if something should happen to either one of you and you need care in retirement? They're either going to say yes or no. And at that point, you can take it one direction or the other. If they say no, it's very simple for you to say, would you mind if, as an exercise right now, we just put on paper what you'd like that plan to look like and let me guide you through? Ask them simple questions like, are you planning on staying in the home you're in? Would you like to move? Are you going to have to do home modifications? Are you planning on splitting time between two different states, two different countries? Are your children all close enough to be a part of the decisions that need to be made? Have you thought about what you're going to utilize if it were to happen and you need to fund it? write it all down. Just get your yellow piece of paper out. We can give you the questions to ask. You'll get this recording. Learn them. Those questions will take you down the path of being able to back in to a simple plan, and then we can help do the rest. What is the best product? What is the best solution? If they say, yes, we have, that's a perfect opportunity for you to say, oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Would you mind sharing with me what that plan is so that I can document it with everything that I'm doing so that we are not overlapping or creating something that isn't going to be helpful in 10 plus years or whatever it may be. And you all have a different reason for why you're sitting down with your client on this conversation. Many of you are sitting down with clients that are in crisis. You've got their children there. These conversations apply to the children as well. So when you're talking crisis with a family and they're saying, you know, mom and dad only have this, they, you know, we want to make sure that mom can receive the care she needs and dad's going to be the home, but we've only got so much. This is another conversation that can be brought up in a way that gets the kids to think about, gosh, I need to do this. So just turning that conversation a little bit and saying things like, you know, I'm here to help put this plan in place. And yes, we're going to put this plan together with your parents so we can help put more money in dad's hands so that mom can get the proper care. But what about dad? What is his health like? I think it's important we put a plan together on him if he were to get need care moving down the line to make sure that what we're doing for mom is going to help with dad's plan. Wow, you're actually wanting to help with both. And then you can say, you know, this might be something we need, you know, if you're open to it, that we should talk about after we get all of this done for your parents. I'd love to sit down with you and put a plan together for you before we get to crisis. Oh my gosh, you've now told them that not only are their parents important, but you're also telling them that you want to make sure that this crisis situation doesn't happen for them. And you're saying, this isn't something we're going to do right now, but I want you to know I'm here and I'm open to helping with this plan. I see attorneys that have changed their tactic and how they're doing it. And they're saying that it's becoming more of a way to get the next generation. So I just want to impart that on you. You know, it never hurts to try and see what it does for you. I think all of us on this call know what long-term care is. We know that you're talking activities of daily living, and we're talking cognitive impairment. But for those of you that have trouble remembering those activities of daily living, I'm going to tell you the way that 20 years ago I learned it, and it hasn't changed, and it's been good for me. I think of the activities of late daily living items, everything that you do in the morning before you start work. You wake up in the morning and you haven't wet your bed, your continent, that's one. You're able to transfer yourself out of bed, that's another, transferring. You're able to go into the bathroom and do your business, that's toileting, that's another one. You take your shower and you're able to do that by yourself, that's another one. You get yourself dressed, that's another one. And you're able to feed yourself. So all of those are basically those independent things that you do to get out the door. Cognitive impairment isn't just memory lapses, because if that were the case, I would be on claim. Cognitive impairment is having cognitive items happen that are either putting not only your client at risk, but the community at risk, be it that they're wandering, they're leaving a stove on, all those things that we hear about that are scary for a family, but they don't necessarily want to have the conversation around. And more, as our aging population is out there, I don't know about the rest of you, but I see stories more than I care to on the local news of silver alerts, which in my community is a missing senior. A lot of times they left someplace to go to the grocery store and never made it home, or they were going to see a child and they veered the wrong direction. Many different reasons for it, but that's cognitive impairment, right? That's, they forgot where they were going. They forgot how to get home. And it's happening more and more where, you know, family members are finding out about it at the late stage because their parents have been able to hide it. Now is the time of year that we're going to see more people coming out of the woodwork and needing care and finding out about care because they were with their parents and their family members during the holidays and they saw the changes happening. We have many different types of long-term care insurance, and I could go into a ton of different data, but I just want to say that there are many different solutions for your client based on what their plan needs to look like. We've got the traditional standalone long-term care. We have asset-based, which is shifting assets, say an annuity that is just sitting there from one place to another for a stop loss. We've got life insurance with long-term care for those families that want to have a legacy, but if they can't have the, you know, if mom or dad need care, they can have a long-term care benefit. And, you know, all of these scenarios are helping to facilitate, in my mind, what the plan should be, right? All of the solutions here are the back ends of how we put that plan together. Long-term care and long-term care insurance are not the same thing. Long-term care is an emotional, physical, and devastating place for a person to be. Needing care. Family, having to watch a family member need care. That's what we're solving for. We're solving for a plan for that physical, emotional, and expensive financial burden. Long-term care insurance is the one of the solutions if that person is able to be underwritten, able to be cognitive enough to put a plan like this in place. This is something that's going to be put in place before we get to crisis, and I think is something that as attorneys and financial professionals in estate planning and elder law want to make sure we can do for the next generation. We've got the tools, but it's just having the right conversation. What are the benefits? I think we all know nobody wants to be a burden. Quite frankly, my daughter's in the psychology realm. I don't want her taking care of me. My son is an engineer. He's in another state. I don't want to be a burden. I also want to leave a legacy for my family, my kids, for them and their children to be able to have a life that I was able to give my own children. Things are changing. Cost of living is changing. Being able to pay for your children's college is harder today than it was 20 years ago. Those are the types of things I want to help with, right? So having this taken care of in my portfolio plan, it's an important thing, and I think more and more people will look at it that way if we go about it in a different light, not talking about insurance, but talking about the plan. Independence, that's huge for me. I am very independent. That's a positive and a negative for a person, because sometimes being too independent can make you, you know, get worse faster. You know, you can actually see decline faster because they haven't reached out to anybody for help. Medicaid, nobody that I know truly wants to have to go on to Medicaid and have somebody else making the decisions. that's not what it was put there for. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're able to give the solutions and let them really make the cognitive decision of what they want that plan to look like. And obviously, quality of care. We have memory homes, we have assisted living, we have facilities that are private pay, that Medicaid just isn't going to be there for to utilize. And some families are not aware that not every facility type out there isn't available to them on Medicaid. So that's our job, to help educate and put that proper plan in play. Tax qualified long-term care plans. I'm not going to go a huge amount into this. I just want you to know that, you know, most states do offer incentives for those who purchase long-term care insurance, as long as it's traditional tax qualified 7702B plans. There are state credits and deductions. I know I'm in Minnesota. There's a $100 credit. It's not a lot, but it's still $100. And then asset retention, you know, that's called partnership. That's dollar for dollar protection. And there are some states that it's more than dollar for dollar, depending on the plan. So there's a lot of benefits behind having insurance as the plan, but it's not the be all end all. Again, we talked a little bit about state partnership, just to say a little bit more what it is. It's helping a family shelter assets away in a legal way from spend down and still potentially qualify for Medicaid if there's a catastrophic event that happens. Average claim is less than 3 years. That 3 years in a facility is not really the norm. That's more like 6 to 10 months in a home of what I see around where I live. It's really an opportunity for them to protect a family and create a financial legacy that they know no matter what happens, even if mom or dad goes on you know, long-term care in a facility, they're still going to have a legacy protected by that long-term care plan of assets being able to be moved outside of their income for long-term care. HSAs, a lot of people forget, you can use HSA dollars to pay for long-term care policies and also for care. So that's something I talk to people about a lot. If you have an HSA, man, slam the dollars in now. You're not going to notice it on your paycheck like you would outlaying it out of your income. And many employers are offering HSAs to help lower the cost of health insurance. But if you're a healthy family, don't not do it and max it because of that. You're going to use it at some point. And it's not a use it or lose it in the HSA. It actually stays with you and grows. So just keep in mind that that is another tactic and another solution if you're planning early enough. HSAs also are not treated as taxable income. So that also helps in this whole conversation. And to me, that's an important piece to this whole puzzle, is figuring out what we're going to use to fund the insurance if we need to. This could be a really good mechanism in retirement. If you've got that client worried about, you know, in 20 years, am I going to be able to afford it? Well, if we plan properly, we should be able to mitigate your outlay of dollars towards long-term care premium. Boy, is self-insurance risky. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but we have solutions for this risk. Not just traditional long-term care, not just hybrid, but we have short-term care plans. We have many ways to plan for this if we can just have the conversation. And I really want you to be empowered to have the conversation and know that you've got Kraus behind you to take that plan document and help you put together the right mechanisms to fund that plan. That's the exciting part. That's where we all kind of get our juices are going and our minds are flowing, because we can help build that out for your clients. What about health insurance and Medicaid? Well, I just had that conversation over the weekend with my parents. You know, they have health insurance, they have their Medicare. It's only going to pay for a very small portion of needing long-term care. And it's not long-term care, it's transitional care. So I would really like to see people talk about it differently. You're not getting long-term care benefits from your health insurance. You're getting transitional benefits from your health insurance. Because the minute you're not getting better and in a position to transition out of a care facility home, Medicare turns off and then it becomes private pay. You have up to 100 days to transition back home, but you have to be getting better or they can turn it off. And so that's something a lot of people are blindsided by in an event happening. Medicaid's going to pay for services only, as you know, if they have little or no assets. And I don't think any of us are doing what we're doing to make sure that our clients are impoverished to get care. Again, why do we want to talk about long-term care insurance as soon as we can? It's the tax deductibility. It's preserving that estate and legacy. I know I have worked too hard in my years of work years to not be able to leave something as a legacy to my granddaughters. Avoid relying on welfare programs. I don't think I would ever want to end up in a facility that I couldn't choose, not because I don't think they're good, but because I know I don't do well sharing a room. And if you're on Medicare, or I should say, sorry, Medicaid, you're not in control of getting a private room. You're put into a Medicaid compliant facility that has a Medicaid compliant bed that has a wall between beds that's usually a thick sheet. That would not bode well for me or for the other person. And then maintain independence and control. For those people in my life, including those I work with, I have a control issue sometimes. I would hate to have to not be the one to make the decisions I need to make, just because I know what it looks like. I've been a caregiver, I've worked in a facility, and losing that type of control, I might as well just give up. I know my feeling, and I know it's a lot of people's feelings. You know, I don't care, you're putting me away. Let's change the conversation. We can do that by talking about putting a plan together. Here are some of the end of year tax considerations. As you see here, the benefit of tax deductibility is there. We can reduce our tax burden if we're a small business owner by those numbers you see under 2023. That's the age eligible indexed amount that you can deduct of premiums. So the older you are, if you are a business owner, you have some deductibility there. This also can be counted if you're paying premium, can be counted on the front line for your health. So you can put those premiums into your total health insurance cost to help maybe get an extra 10% deduction. So there are ways to utilize that premium if the knowledge is there. Other tax advantages is just the care amount that people are getting. We have per diem amounts that we have to think about. This year it's $420 per day. Ironically, for 2024, it's changing and it's actually going down a little bit. But I see that and I look at that number, and we're still in line for what the cost per day is. And we are not, in many cases, creating plans that are covering that amount a day, because we don't want this to be a 100% coverage. We want this to be a co-coverage for the client. Make your clients and your money work for you. Shift money from one corner of the vault to another, right? Just move it around. Utilize those inefficient monies, those annuities that have been sitting there that have an enormous tax consequence upon usage. Put them into a vehicle that can be a 1035 and all of the dollars can be taken out tax-free for long-term care. Take a life insurance policy that may be sitting there with cash value in it and transfer it into a single premium that can have a long-term care benefit of 2 or 3 times the benefit of what they would have gotten if they just used the cash value out of that life insurance. There are many ways for us to plan for this, but again, unless we have the conversation of what they're wanting, we're not going to know which is the best. No one plans to fail, but one can fail to plan. I want to make sure that we are helping you as attorneys and advisors to be proactive in the conversation. It's actually not a hard conversation once you get used to having it be a part of the full plan, but it takes time to learn it and just be able to say and ask for the right data. And that's what we're here for, is to help you with that. So know that we are here not only for pre-planning, as I've been talking about, but also that crisis planning, which is where I think most of you have known Kraus up until this point, is Medicaid compliant annuities and funeral expense trusts. We have under pre-planning not only long-term care insurance, we have the funeral expense trust. And one missing here that's a big one is Medicare. We do have Medicare, and we can help your client if you see that maybe the Medicare plan that they're on or the couple are on isn't necessarily the right plan. We can help with that as well. So truly, we want to be the bookends for your client and for your office to help with that pre and crisis plan for your clients and, quite frankly, for yourself and your families. Where can you learn more? Well, I'm sure many of you have access to your Kraus report. It's out there. We're getting ready to put together our 2024, so make sure to request that when you see that. We also have reports and information on the long-term care. We've got case studies, and we've got a extremely knowledgeable staff in our long-term care division that can help you to put together the right plan and ask the right questions. We also have our resources of our attorney access that was just rebranded and put out there. I will tell you, I just went out there for the first time in about a month, and I was extremely excited because I am a data geek, and there are tons of new videos and trainings and information out there on long-term care, on MCAs, on just about anything you might want to learn and know. We also have continuing legal education, white papers, tons and tons of stuff out there. If you don't have access to attorney access, please reach out to Amy Marketing or Colin or whoever you work with, even me at Kraus, and we can get you not only signed up, but talk to you about what it costs to get access to all of these wonderful resources. And it's not just the usual that we've had out there before. We are talking some major build outs that I wasn't even aware of. So kudos to our marketing, what a resource. And with that, if we have any questions, we can take them now. Otherwise, I'd like to just say thank you so much for attending our webinar today. Thank you for entrusting Kraus as your trusted partner. And have a wonderful holiday next week with Thanksgiving. And, hold your family tight. Make sure that everybody is okay. And give us a call if you need anything. We're here to help.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Just one question here. If I am interested in adding long-term care insurance to my practice, can you talk a little bit more about what the process of working with Kraus looks like?
Absolutely. One of the things that's really exciting to me is that we have really built out our process for partnering an attorney with a long-term care advocate that we have on our team. And they will work closely with you and your clients. Simply, you need to just contact me and we can discuss kind of what you're looking for. We partner you with an advocate and then you work with them, send leads to them. They will help put the plan together and we're then in a great place. If you're looking to just get more information, my wholesale team internal can help out with that. I am always available. Reach out to me. Email me, I'll email you back, then you'll have my cell phone. I'm always available for, you know, just quick questions or if you need to ask something in depth. This is a passion that I have and I really want to just make sure that your clients are taken care of.
All right, thank you so much, Lori. A recording of this webinar will be available shortly in the Attorney Access account that Lori mentioned. And just to reiterate, we did just add some great new videos on long-term care insurance into Attorney Access. So please do check that out. And if you don't already have an account, like Lori said, you can just reach out to us or you can head on over to the KrausFinancial.com website to get set up. And I want to thank you again, Lori, for your great presentation. And thank you to everyone for joining us today and for completing that post-webinar survey. Have a great afternoon.